because of the pandemic.
Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of these individuals were put out of work. A lot of these individuals realized that their careers were not stable. That's kind of a myth that individuals often think of, like, oh, I have this, like, you know, this, I'm kind of protected, so to speak, or, you know, my job will never go away. And then lo and behold, we all survive a pandemic and we find out that we're not necessarily protected. So what a lot of these individuals did was, one, make some conscious decisions that they wanted more for their lives, realizing that working 40 plus hours a week, earning tips and, you know, very minimal wages in restaurants was not going to be sustainable for them. So there's a, you know, the free will of individuals just deciding that they want something better, which is kind of forcing the hand of employers to recognize this. I mean, their employees really have put their, you know, kind of foot down and said, no, you know, I do want work-life balance. I need to have a job that, you know, I don't need to work three jobs just to pay my rent, because the cost of living obviously has gone up. And so we have all these aspects. And in terms of the blue collar, that's, you know, it's changed just as we've seen evolution of our, you know, years where we used to think blue collar was factory, was very industrial. And now blue collar is really our hospitality. It's our, you know, kind of that hospitality restaurant, you know, business. Obviously, we still have industrial, which we're not seeing as much of a change there. But we're also seeing a change in terms of the dynamics of the age of workers. Our society is continuing to get older. And we have a younger generation that's realizing that they can do more. You know, they have the ability to have more. So there's a lot of factors and a lot of going into what's happening with the shortage of labor.
Okay. So basically, let me just summarize it for everybody out there. First of all, our definition of blue collar has slightly changed, all right? So that's what you're saying to me. Am I
correct? Yep.
But basically, a blue collar worker would be somebody at the moment for us that is maybe defined as getting close to minimum wage when it comes to the revenue they're generating. And because of that, people, rightfully so, are saying it's not enough to live on. It's just not enough, right?
It was never meant to be that way. You know, it was never meant to be, you weren't meant to make minimum wage to live on a full sustainable life. I mean, that was never meant to be that. And there are, I will say, there are a lot of efforts. A lot of states have increased the minimum wage when I was a teenager.
Well, the minimum wage when we were growing up was probably, for me, which was back in the 1800s, it was probably like $2 an hour. And now it's 15 and change, I think, maybe close to $16 only in some states because it's state-driven, I understand. It's not, you know, even though it may have come down federally as to what it could be, it is still regulated state to state. Is that correct?
That is correct. So every state does have different, you're going to see, you know, astronomical rates. Like, say, for example, Seattle, Washington State has one of the higher minimum wage.
And what is that for everybody
off
in Seattle?
You know what? I don't quote me on this, but I know it's 15 and above. I know that there's certain, the state legislator has, a lot of state legislators have incremental increases. So after like certain, like 2025, they may have another increase and they've placed that in there. So there's a, you know, but on the same token, I understand that, you know, that forces the employers to have, you know, they have to then say, okay, how much staff can we afford? What, you know, what's the revenue coming in? So it's a push pull from that standpoint.
Okay. Well, since we are broadcasting from a Seattle-based station.
Yeah.
Worthwhile to know, everybody here in Washington State, that at least if you're going for a minimum wage job, you will at least get one of the highest paid situations in the country. So that's a plus, right? The grass isn't greener someplace else. That's what we're telling you.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
So here we are. Before we move on, let me just tell you that the call-in number today is 800-930-2819. 800-930-2819, okay? 800-930-2819. If you have an employment question, this is a free opportunity to get some top-notch career coaching. Pick up the phone and ask. You have nothing to lose, okay? So here we are back to the fact that the minimum wage employees are now being directed elsewhere, and because the pandemic was there, they had an opportunity to leave that, quite honestly. They couldn't go out there, maybe for fear that they would get sick, so their situation was legitimate, and they couldn't go out there. But now that they're first coming back, what's happening? Are there people that are not even looking for minimum wage jobs? They're looking for better than that? How come I can't find a reservation clerk at a hotel or a waitress in a diner? What do you think the reasons are, Melanie?
I really think it's a reason of really wanting something a little bit more for individuals' lives. And I know that for some are going to say, well, take the job and go look for something better, which a lot of people are doing. A lot of people are doing that. But on the same token, people are taking the opportunity to advance their skills, do additional education that's not in a non-university setting, so certification courses, things of that nature. Really, and then also, again, just really like, do I want the life of, working 40-plus hours a week, standing on my feet all day, not feeling necessarily appreciated. And so a lot of these factors, which I know some people are going to say, get over it, whatever. But I think the pandemic, if anything, taught us, like, let's take stock of our lives. Let's really take stock and say, what is important in my life? And, a lot of these people are still, they're either still, they are still working, or they have, we're able to find other types of employment, other opportunities, because again, we had, opening of the world, so to speak. So some of those have been dispersed into other industries, things of that nature, and others maybe going through their own journey. So, I think if anything, the pandemic taught us, it forced us to take a break. And it forced us to say, where do we want to be in our lives?
And that's a really good thing. And I think what I'm seeing, as well as you, and then we're moving on from here. But in general, you're absolutely right. The pandemic forced a reassessment. And that reassessment is telling us, now that I have an opportunity to sit back and say, what do I really want to do? Maybe it's more of a directed want rather than a need. Yes, really want to do something rather than I need to do this to bring money in. Okay, and that's always a factor, because we always have to bring money in. But it's a wonderful thing to be able to do a job that you spend so much time on that you really love, as opposed to something that's just collecting a paycheck for you, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's move on to the how-to portion of the journey, which everybody wants to know. Remember, the call-in number is 800-930-2819. Any questions about employment, here's the deal. Any aspect, any industry, any situation, give us a call. But here we go. Let's talk about how to stand out as a job candidate, all right? Let's just give me some general tips and advice on how candidates can make themselves stand out. Because I'll tell you something. I just spoke to somebody yesterday. I spoke to an employer of a huge company. He's got 300 people, so maybe it's not huge, but he's got 300 people that he provides for in an employment situation, and he puts out a job request, and he gets 70 to 100 resumes for each job. That's astounding. So how does a candidate make themselves stand out in such a competitive job market? We are listening carefully.
So there's probably two sides to this coin. So there's the technical side of what you do with your resume, how you format your resume, making sure it gets through the process. From the non-technical side, what I will say is you have to first and foremost understand what value you're bringing to the organization. What problem can you solve? what are their understanding their pain points, and what are your transferable skills or skills?
All right, so let me stop you right there, because my question, if I was looking, would be, how do I figure that out? How do I know what problem I can solve?
Well, that is actually a very good question, and this actually is where most people fail, I will say, because this is kind of like, there's the what I call your foundation is your resume and LinkedIn, but what you do before your resume and LinkedIn profile is really doing the assessment of what are your strengths. What are, you know, going back through your career, what are your, it's an overused term, but I'm going to use it. I'm still going to use it. What are those superpowers? What do people know you for? Like, you know, what are you amazing at customer service? Like, you can solve a problem. You don't care. You know, you're not intimidated with an issue. You'll take that angry client who's screaming and yelling at you, and all of a sudden they'll be calm and happy. You know, what is it that you do? What is it that you do differently that makes you stand apart? That's what you have to leverage in today's market. You have to show up in terms of, I understand what your pain points are, and this is how I can help you. What people are trying to do is do this universal blanket of, oh, I'm a great, you know, project manager. Okay, that's great, but what makes you different? Why should I, you know, I always ask clients this when I'm doing or when I'm going through their resumes with you. It's one of the last questions I always ask. Why should a company hire you? And it's a question that I will tell you that most people struggle with. And I even joke with my clients. I go, okay, now you get the tough question. I always save it for last. Why should they hire you? And a lot of people hem and haw and like, I don't know. I guess
because
maybe.
I'm a nice person.
Right. Like, I come to work every day and I work hard. You know, that's not enough anymore. Not when you're competing against all of these, you know, all of these resumes. And then you've got to be able to translate those skills into your resume.